We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, Pastor Mondo Davis shares a message on leadership. Mondo is the campus pastor at Gateway's North Fort Worth campus and was a professional football player and health and wellness manager and consultant before entering into full-time ministry. Let's listen in.
How we handle transition can be the single most determining factor for success or failure. As a leader, your transition can bring hurt or it can bring healing to your organization based on how prepared you are to handle yourself like a world-class leader. In Beijing in the 2012 Olympics in the men's 400-meter relay, Tyson Gay stuck his left hand behind him, waiting to feel the red baton's cool metal make contact. Still waiting. Gay looked ahead and began to take off. Now accelerating, he glanced back at Darvis Patton, his U.S. teammate, in a 400-meter relay preliminary heat. A moment later, Patton let go of the baton, and Tyson Gay reached back for the baton, only to squeeze his hand shut, empty, with no baton as it bounced on the track. And they looked in utter despair as they watched their hopes and dreams bobble clumsily off the track into the grass. In the past, have you fumbled a transition or watched another leader fumble a transition? I know I have. I've thought about the leaders that have come in and led me in a way that didn't understand the dynamic of what they were stepping into and how hurtful it was to the organization. But then I've also seen other leaders who were amazing, and they stepped in and helped bring an organization from a very deleterious place to a place of ultimate health and growth. And it flourished. So here's what I'd like to talk to you about today. Five keys to ensure you secure the handoff and transition in a way that accelerates your career, your performance, your team, and your organization as a leader. So here's the question. Number one, are you running from something or are you running to something? I'll never forget, I was in a position right now where I had a person come to me and they were disgruntled from another church, and they never got it settled in their heart. They never settled the issue with the leader that they were serving under, and the same thing became cancerous, and it spread in the new organization and weren't able to stay. But then I've seen others who felt a compelling call from God, and that's what led them through the transition that they're currently in to really step into a new season and prosper in a powerful way. So studies show this, the top three stressors in our society are moving to a new city, starting a new job or promotion, and having a new baby. See, I don't know, guys, if you noticed, but my wife and I, we have 8 kids. And in Texas, we moved in the last 5 years. We've moved 5 times. So I certainly understand this. And by God's grace, there's been new job opportunities to serve here at Gateway Church over the last 4 years. There's been 4 different opportunities. So I understand all too well how you feel right now if you're in the middle of a transition. And I want to let you know that through the things that I've learned, I want to share these things with you because I believe they can make the difference between success and failure. This could be the very difference between you becoming all that God's called you to be in this season and failing and having to start over and continue to go around that mountain. I know you don't want to go around the mountain anymore. I know you're tired. I know you're exhausted. I know you're frustrated, even with the boss that's over you right now. But I want to put some tools in your hand that are going to help you propel into your destiny and maximize this season to be the best that you were born to be. So during any transition, you're most likely going to experience any one of those three things I just mentioned. My goal is to help minimize that stress and put you in a position for long-term sustainable success in your new role. See, I grew up as a military brat, and my dad served 20 years in the Army. And if you served in our armed forces, I want to say thank you for serving our country so we can have the freedom that we have today. As my father served for 20 years, we moved on average about every 2 to 3 years of my life. And my dad would come home and say, guess what? And as a family of 5, my mother and my father and my 2 brothers, we would all say, what, Dad? He'd say, I got new orders and we're moving to Germany or Virginia or Texas or wherever the Army sends me. And as a family, we would celebrate because we knew that my father was investing in us. But we also saw it as an opportunity to make new friends and also meet new people and have great experiences as a family. Many people attach family to a brick and mortar. But family, the way we were taught, is all about where the loved ones are that we're engaged in. And in that moment, as I thought about my mother and my father and my brothers, everywhere that we were together was considered home. So it's just a different mentality. And when you think about it from that perspective, the physical location doesn't matter. It's about being where God's called you to be with the people he's called you to be with. My mom and dad did such a great job communicating that we would make new friends on this new adventure, and it'd give us an opportunity to see another part of the world that my brothers and I were ecstatic about moving to. In any organization, when transition comes, whether it's a promotion, a lateral move, or a new opportunity, it may not feel like something you're ecstatic about. It may not feel like an adventure. It may be something you really don't even want to do. But if you handle it well, it can be the foundation to long-term sustainable success. In your transition, as you begin the process, it's time to rethink what you delegate. Here's the question that you can ask yourself. What can someone else do that I'm currently doing at least 80% as well as I can do it? And the other thing you want to ask is, what are the things that only I can do that no one else can do in this role in this season? That will help give you clarity on how to begin to delegate. Now, remember that when you're getting promoted, it was because you were able and driven, as are others around you. So don't find it surprising when you realize it's more challenging to get things done. Now your focus is on building and sustaining alliances more effectively, which is about influence, not authority. Understanding culture is critical for success. Culture is the set of values. It's the set of ideas and the way that the organization gets things done. That's an easy way to say it. See, you're like a new organ being transplanted, and how well you acclimate to the new organizational immune system determines whether or not you will be accepted or you'll be kicked out. And the part in which you're accepted or rejected is based on how well you acclimate to the internal culture of the organization. See, the preparation for successfully acclimating within the new organization can be done in 7 steps of identifying cultural norms. The first is influence. How do people get support for critical initiatives? Do they go to the senior team? Do they go to their peers? Is it a combination of both? Understanding influence is critical. Number 2, meetings. Public gatherings to report decisions that have been made in private, or do you take time to process and decide as a team? Number 3, execution. Which matters most, a deep understanding of the process or knowing the right people? See, this is critical. Number 4, conflict. Are people free to really discuss the challenging issues, or is there fear of retribution, or do they avoid conflict? See, having this understanding is so important because, again, this can be the determining factor on whether or not you're accepted and acclimated or rejected. Next, recognition. Does the organization promote stars who are visible and vocal, or team players who lead authoritatively, but quietly and collaboratively? And last but not least is ends versus means. Are the values of the organization reinforced through positive and negative incentives? See, understanding these 7 key things and cultural norms, it's critical to being accepted into the organization. And just for review, really quick, it's influence, meetings, execution, conflict, recognition, and ends versus means. After you've identified the culture, prepare yourself to enter into this new season well by asking yourself, what made me successful in my last role? Will those strengths position me for success in the new role? If not, what critical skills do I need to develop so that I can be the success that God has called me to be in this new season and I can transition like a world-class leader? Now, as you're stepping into this new role or job, you can feel like you're stepping into the darkness without a light. And many of you know how that feels, right? Most of the time you wind up bumping into the coffee table in the middle of the night and you have bumps on your shin and pain throughout the day. We don't want this new experience to feel like you're clambering around in the dark or, you know, walking around with painful experiences. We want this to be a success. So I've come up with an acronym to help you navigate this new season. And the acronym is FOGLAMP. And what that stands for is this. The F is focus. What is the early win you want to achieve? What are you going to focus your attention on? The O is for oversight. How will you oversee the team and project you're stepping into? The G is for goals. What are your specific goals and timeframes for achieving them? The L is for leadership. Who will lead the project and what training is necessary for it to be successful? The A is for abilities. What mix of skills, strengths, abilities, and experience is necessary for success? The M is for means. What additional skills, training, or resources does the team need to be successful? The P is for process. What are the structured processes in place to execute? Now that you can see clearly regarding your strategy and how it will apply to your circumstance in the transition, it's time to do what's called a toes analysis. No, I'm not talking about the toes in your shoe. I'm talking about TOWS, and it stands for threats, opportunities, weaknesses, and strengths. What are the threats that will prevent you from being what God's called you to be as a successful leader? What opportunities are available that may not have been available before you stepped in that role? What are the weaknesses of you and your team that need to be addressed or managed? And what are the strengths that will propel you into this successful new season that you're fighting to get into? I remember being in the health and wellness industry, and I had a good friend who was very successful at a very successful health and wellness brand throughout the nation. And this fitness club hired him to go into toxic environments and help get the teams healthy. And he was proven to be able to come in and build A teams out of people who were subpar. And I asked him, I said, man, how do you do this? And he said, Mondo, it's very simple. As a general manager, I go from club to club making toxic teams healthy through these four steps. And I said, what are they? He said, number one is forming. You have to understand that when you come into an organization, there's going to be an element of forming the team by identifying who's strong in what areas and assessing the talent that you have before you. And then once you're able to do that, you're going to step into step number two, which is storming. You're going to have people trying to find out where they fit in the pecking order. And it can get a little bit crazy for a short amount of time. But once they figure that out, things are going to begin to level out. The dust is going to begin to settle. And you move into season number three, which is norming. And after you transition out of that and everybody settles in, everybody knows their place, the team is beginning to gel. Now you transition into what we all want as leaders. And that is step number four, performing. So the more prepared we are to step in with understanding and walk our teams through these four phases, the more successful you'll be in your new role. I'll never forget, we had a brand new coach coming in when I was playing college football, and we went 6-6. We won 6 games and we lost 6 games his first year. And after he looked at the team and assessed our talent, he said, guys, you have the ability to be a championship caliber team. And I'm going to continue to speak this over you because as a leader, this is what I see when I look at this team. And we didn't see it in ourselves, but coach saw it in us and he was calling it out of us. So as we looked around, he said, I'm going to make a couple of changes in regard to our roster. And then I want you guys to know that next year we are going to win a championship. Little did we know, our coach was right. He was able to come in like a world-class leader and lead us to the championship. The next year we went 15-1. We won 15 games and we lost one, and we wound up winning the national championship 40-0. So when you step into a season like that, how are you able to do that? We all hear about the great coaches that have come in and transformed organizations. It's all about getting your team in alignment for their assignment. See, leadership is influence. It's not authority. It's being able to call out the best in those that you're leading and help them recognize their gift and how they fit into the organization. I love this quote. You know, it's not about how much you know. It's all about how much you make people feel. And it's all about letting people know it's not about what you can do for me, but what I can do for you. And when we find ourselves in a position where we can recognize the ability to help people and call out the gifts and the ability that they have, we're finding ourselves in a position to have influence and not operate out of a place of being in authority. See, it's about more than just a job title. It's about the way you relate with people, and it's about the way that you care for people. If you think about an org chart, many times a CEO or an executive will look at themselves. You may even be in that position right now where you're looking at yourself at the top of this org chart, and there's all these people that you're responsible for. Well, I want to encourage you to flip that org chart in your mind and think about yourself at the bottom of it. And now your job is simply to serve them and remove obstacles. Instead of calling yourself the CEO, call yourself the CSO, the Chief Serving Officer. And now as you serve the people that you're responsible for and you position them for success, you'll find that they'll be more loyal to you and they'll be in a position where they'll do anything for you. And that will help propel the destiny of the organization. I want to leave you with this. As you step into this new season as a world-class leader and you begin to move through this process, there's something that's very important. And it's the last step here. And it's the ability to understand exactly what kind of wake you're going to leave behind. My father-in-law is a fisherman, and he and I went out on a fishing trip, and we went out and we caught all kinds of fish, and it was amazing. And we were coming back to the dock, and he let me drive the boat. And I remember us pulling up to the dock, and I was so excited. I was speeding through there. He said, son, stop, slow down. And I said, what's wrong, Pop? He said, no wake. And I slowed the boat down, and the waves began to settle. And he explained to me, if you come in too fast, then you're going to tear up everybody else's docks, and you're going to tear up their boats, and you're going to do damage that you can't pay for. But if you come in nice and easy, you'll find your place, and everything will be taken care of. And I want to encourage you the same way. If you're coming in, and you're like John Wayne right now, and you're ready to just come in and blow things up at the organization, I want to tell you to just slow down a little bit. Slow down, because you might cause some damage that you can't repair and you can't pay for. And if the organization needs you to be John Wayne, I want you to assess that. And I'm going to give you a tool to help you do it. It's the STARS acronym. The S stands for startup. Are you stepping into a startup situation? And the T stands for turnaround. Is the organization going downhill fast? Is it just going down the drain so fast that they need a miracle to turn this thing around? If it's a startup or a turnaround, I want you to know you're going to have to be John Wayne. Put your boots on, because it's about to go down. You need to come in fast. You need to be able to make decisions on the fly. You need to be able to do things with a lot of ambiguity and be confident as a leader. And that will position you for success if it's a startup or a turnaround organization. You may be stepping in. That's for the S, startup. T for turnaround. The A is for accelerated growth. It may be in a position where they're growing faster than they're able to handle right now. And you're coming in a position where you're going to be able to help sustain that growth. Well, guess what? You're going to have to be able to come in and find the wave and ride it. And then the other side of the storm is S for startup, T for turnaround, accelerated growth. The R is for realignment. Are there people in the wrong seat on the bus? And do you have people who need to be on the bus who are not on the bus? You want to bring those people in, and you want to realign the organization to head in the right direction. Maybe the vision has changed. Maybe the mission has changed. Maybe the donors have changed and there's a new direction that the organization is going in. If you're in a realignment, you're going to have to move a lot slower. You're going to have to build relationships. You're going to have to find out who the key stakeholders are. And you got to gain understanding. You're going to need to probably spend about 6 months just building relationships and alliances. And then last but not least, the S is for sustained success. Everything is working. Everything is clicking. Everything is moving in the right direction. Again, you'll have to slow down. No wake. Just step in and gain an understanding of everything that's happening and build relationships. And that will be the key to position you for success. If you want more information about this, I want to reference a book that I thought was really helpful. And it's called First 90 Days by Michael Watkins. And many of the informational resources that I referenced here came from that. But this was a huge resource for me in the midst of, like I said earlier, being in a position where we've had 5 moves in 5 years, we've had 4 or 5 different positions in the last 4 or 5 years, and we have 8 children. How do you do that and stay above water? Well, this is a great resource to help you do that. I want to encourage you to know that you're in a position where you can and will be a world-class leader if you apply these principles, and you'll find yourself excelling at levels that you never dreamed possible.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you would like more information on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.